On our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. This is Len Iquita for Community Matters, and our topic this morning is the Wisconsin, Southeast Wisconsin Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families. Some of you may remember this topic. This is about relative disparities in outcomes in terms of between ethnic groups with respect to pregnancy, infant mortality, women's health, and related issues. We have a wonderful panel of guests today that are in charge of this for the state and for our local listening area, particularly in Racine and Kenosha counties. On the phone with us is the director of the program, Gina Green-Harris.
Good morning.
Ms. Green-Harris has experience in the areas of program development, diversity, inclusion, cultural competency, leadership development, and research. Here with me in the studio is Dr. Diamond D. Hansen. She's a doctor of public health, a master of public health, and Diamond focuses her public health work on community and neighborhood-based approaches that address the social determinants of health. And you've heard from us on this program about the social determinants of health a lot in the last year, and so this is especially relevant and interesting to all of us listening today. And our third guest here in the studio with me is Prenice Love. She's the community strategist for Racine County. Prenice has extensive experience in case management, program development, community leadership, and training and development. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
It's a great pleasure to have you with us. We have so much expertise here at the table that I'm a little frightened by it all. Now, this is a really important topic. The title, Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families, sounds pretty boring, actually. But there's nothing boring about infant mortality and women's unhealthy outcomes in pregnancy, which are some of the foci of your work. So let's start with the boss, the director, Gina Green-Harris. Gina, tell us, what is the status of the Life Course Initiative's effort? What is it that you're trying to prevent? Let's hear what the problem really is.
Sure, and good morning again, and thank you so much for having us as guests on your show. We really are excited about this opportunity. To be quite frankly, the Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families has now been in place for well over 10 years, started by the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health through the Wisconsin Partnership Program. And it has been an initiative to actually get to the meat of why African-American women, particularly in Wisconsin, are dying three times, or our babies are actually dying at the worst rate in the country. And quite frankly, from 2015 to 2017, our black moms have had the worst birth outcomes, being that our children are three times more likely to die before our first birthday and or having problems at birth. And also, we know that in the state, overall, we get a passing grade, but when it comes to black women, we're significantly failing. And so that in itself, quite frankly, is really why we were starting to do this work, hoping that when we began creating Life Course, that the message around black babies, black families being impacted by infant mortality would not only raise awareness, but actually create an opportunity for us to create some change around how we address this issue. And so that has been our intention through the university, to bring not only awareness, but opportunity for change. So change through policies, through systems and environmental structures, and creating a new infrastructure that does recognize poor birth outcomes is really going to impact not just black families, but families across the state of Wisconsin as a whole.
Dr. Henson, what would you add? You're the assistant director of this program. What would you add to that?
So I would add to that that what makes this new life model different from the past is that we are really, and as you read my bio, we are really focused on looking at this work utilizing the asset-based community development model, which is the ABCD model.
Let me stop you
yes.
right there. We've talked a little bit on this program in the past about what the asset-based model is, and it's a really important concept. Do you want to take a minute to talk about that?
Sure.
Because I think the idea of assets versus deficits is something that in human development services is relatively new in terms of the emphasis it's getting now. Tell us what that means and why it's so important.
Absolutely.
Please.
Thank you for the question. So the ABCD model is pretty much a place-based framework that can help build strong, safe, and healthy neighborhoods and communities. What's so important about this foundation is that it rests really upon a few simple truths. One, everybody has gifts. Everybody in the community has gifts. The second one is that everybody in the community that has gifts actually has something to contribute, whether they know it or not. And then the third truth to that, and I see you nodding your head, and the third truth to that is that everyone cares about something and is passionate and has the motivation to act on that something. So it's really important that we really look to this model to really build upon the strengths and the capacities of residents and associations within the neighborhood that these people call, you know, their community their home. So that is something that we are really focusing our new life efforts and our new life model around.
That's terrific. And The current situation is really utterly unacceptable, and it has been for some time. And, of course, I have learned through talking to your colleagues currently and in the past how amazingly difficult this issue is. It's easy to simplify it, but if you simplify it, you can't solve it because there are many factors intertwined. And the emphasis on involving the community, I think, is going to be very, very important to you in the future.
Absolutely. And we at LIFE, we really believe that the most successful community efforts really include that resident engagement and action. And it's a no-cost, low-cost solutions. And it's really everyone working together with those existing institutions and programs and really using those community-based resources.
And may I just add a little something to that?
Please.
Because I think Diamond's on the absolutely on the right page of where we're going. And I want to just include that, as I was saying, we've been doing Life Course for well over 10 years. And I want to be clear that this new model that we're incorporating actually was revised from our original work of Life, where we use a community coalition action theory, Fran Belder Fosse's. We have really studied Michael Liu's 12 points of Life Course work, and we initially started our work with these community collaboratives, and that was a really great idea and foundational work for us. Unfortunately, some of the challenges that came to fruition for us was the voice from the community, as Diamond has mentioned, was that they felt not present, represented, or even having space at the table to actually be part of the solution for addressing this chronic situation of poor birth outcome. And so it was really important to us as an institution to hear the voice of the community and actually kind of transform what we were hearing into not only what the residents were saying, but actually looking at the systemic barriers to why this issue was not changing for our community. So it's really important that we're going to have community input, but we also are going to also be inclusive of organizational and structures that actually will develop new relationships and hopefully new models of care that can address the systemic challenges. And another way we're going to do this is by reducing our work from this 12 point of Michael Liu, to really having the priority be addressing the chronic stress circumstance situation that we know is a clear driver of poor birth outcome. So all of that is building around this whole asset-based model, which is going to now look at structures that are in place. How do we build their capacity? How do we really create a wholesome community to come together and work on this initiative?
Thank you. That was Gina.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was Gina, yes.
Okay. And you're the director of the program now. How long have you been directing the program, Gina? Have you seen it all, the whole 10 years?
No, absolutely not. I have been part of the Life Course Initiative for the last now 3 years. And so I came into Life at a transitional period. And we, recognizing that we wanted to really make sure we were meeting the needs of the community in the way that the community needed to be addressed and that we were able to have the most impact in our work. So I've been here for the last 3 years.
Now, we don't have with us the community strategist for Kenosha. Who is that going to be?
So the this is Gina, and the community strategist for Kenosha is Atifa Robinson, and she has been doing some dynamic work already in the Kenosha community. She is coming as a previous member of the Kenosha Life Life Course for Initiative for Healthy Families model that was based in Kenosha, very familiar with the community, very trusted by the community, and has quite frankly already been very active in creating new partnerships and creating forward pathways for us to actually do this new model of life within Kenosha and, quite frankly, Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee, and Racine as well. So we're excited to have her aboard. She couldn't be with us today. She's currently out of town.
By the way, I might mention that we are pre-recording this for broadcast. Now, here with us, though, today is the community strategist for Racine, Prenice Love. Prenice, good morning, and
good morning.
Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing in Racine in general, and then we'll go into the details in a little while.
So in Racine, one of my roles is to basically help build those partnerships between Life and the actual community members, as well as other organizations, as well as we'll be hosting events to get the community involved, as well as organizations as well.
Now, Gina Green-Harris, the director, has mentioned chronic stress, and I'd like to delve into what that means a little bit more. I'm going to ask Dr. Hansen to help me out. I do recall on an earlier discussion about this topic last year that I learned that controlling for education and income showed that they had very little effect and that the outcomes were just about as bad when you controlled for those variables, which is counterintuitive to most of us. Although when you think about this in terms of the lens of chronic stress, it becomes much more easy to understand. Would you talk a little bit about that, please, for us, Professor?
So with our past work in life and just being in the community and collecting data, both the data in those community conversations with African-American families specifically in the past has confirmed that chronic stress induced by discrimination and institutional racism plays a very significant role in women's health across time, and addressing the burden of chronic stress has now become our newest priority.
And how, in general, what kind of strategies can you deploy for this problem?
So this is where we are really focusing our efforts on increased awareness. So we really are getting out into our plan is to really get out into the community and educate individuals and systems and what have you on the many different factors that are playing a part in chronic stress. So again, looking at, you know, historical trauma, looking at how racism and discrimination factors into how delivery of care in African-American communities is handled. So we're looking at a variety of factors that we believe playing a vital role in that chronic stress in families.
Our topic on Community Matters this morning is the Southeast Wisconsin Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families, which is to address disparities in outcomes in pregnancy, particularly between black and white individuals. And on the phone with us is the director of the program, Gina Green-Harris, and with me here in the studio, Dr. Diamond Hansen and Preenice Love. We're so glad to have you all with us. Now, going back a little bit more to this idea of stress, as a relatively lucky and privileged white man, I tend to think of this as a white problem, not a black problem. And I am very excited to see that you have a lot of outreach ideas to work with the entire community and to work with systems in the community, because I think that that has a lot to do with making change. Now, let's go deeper into this. What sorts of activities are being planned for each of the counties here within our signal? Now, Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee are an official part of the program, according to the way I understand it. Is that right, Gina?
Yes, that's absolutely right. In our plan, quite frankly, just want to say a brief touch on, again, with chronic stress and how we're looking at this. And then I'll share our plan of how we're going to continue to address it. So we know that, quite frankly, when you talk about, as Dr. Hansen has said, the chronic stress issue, we're looking at things like poverty, incarceration rate, right, racial discrimination. We know that those things are critical, the violence in our community, and even environmental factors. All of those are really tangible factors that actually impact birth outcome. And so we're going to take a step back, recognizing that these are conduits that we need to start addressing through systems and operational structures that are impacting the effect of these on our families, and particularly black women, black children, and black men, of course. So black families as a whole, and black communities, quite frankly. So we want to really drill down, as you're saying, to say, okay, we understand that the data is showing that even with a good education and even with a nice economic status, black babies are still dying. What is really happening, and how do we begin to host this conversation? And part of that is really beginning to have these educational opportunities, not just with community members, but with providers, with community-based organizations, with our stakeholders, key stakeholders, with bankers, with how does this impact transportation, really recognizing that structural racism is impacting us on every level. So we want to start having these engaging conversations across multi-sectors. And to your point, we have some really great majority agencies that work with our African-American families, but unfortunately, they're not understanding, quite frankly, what are some of the historical traumas that our families have been suffering, and how do we address those in our care practices and in our care models. So we're going to actually start talking about that with those organizations and agencies. And again, we're also going to hopefully be able to address and engage conversation with healthcare institutions as a whole to begin to say, we're always looking outwardly as to how we can address some of these issues with these families, but what are we doing for our teams and our staffs and our providers to make sure that they too are aware that we actually can have unconscious bias and against these families and folks that actually will exacerbate some of these stressors that we're identifying. So we have a lot of multi-tiered kind of activities that we're planning, and we're also going to try to do some capacity building with organizations that are smaller organizations that are African-American led and owned and that are working with our populations to pour capacity. What we mean by capacity is building their infrastructure so that they can be around for years to come to do this work in the most meaningful way to actually tackle this issue.
Well, that's very exciting, and this may be a gratuitous comment, but as I observe what's going on in the healthcare scene here in southeastern Wisconsin, we have these very large healthcare companies, Accenture, Freightert, taking over the smaller local hospitals. These are big organizations with big resources. I believe they're all organized as not-for-profits. And I do hope that they take this really, really seriously. Since they are big systems, they have the resources to make an impact if they choose to do so. And maybe if we could get some of them to come into the studio and actually talk to listeners once in a while, we could learn more about what they are doing and what they aren't doing, and we would welcome to have them do that. I've tried, but they haven't taken me up on it so far. I think that they have an enormous responsibility to our community, and we'll be watching. I'd like to turn now to those of us in the studio. Thank you so much, Gina. Dr. Hansen, anything you want to add on this topic that, from your standpoint, and also Preenie's?
Yes. So, and just to piggyback off of our wonderful director, Gina, another, when you talk about those strategies, another strategy that we have to address chronic stress is actually establishing a life strategy board, or LSB. So the LSB will pretty much be proactive in offering guidance and providing input to the life program office on direction that we should take in order to address these critical and sensitive issues, such as chronic stress.
Who would be the people who would be on that?
Yes, I'm glad that you asked that. So we want everyone at the table, from your stakeholders to your local activists. We want community members to come together. We want that grocery store owner who doesn't think that he or she plays a part in addressing some of these issues, but that plays a big part. You know, maybe you have a grocery store where you are in the community, but maybe your prices of your food, they're not affordable for that family living in that community, or maybe you're not in the community at all and there's no access. So, you know, when we talk about food insecurity and food deserts, so we want to really bring all of these different individuals together to address those issues.
These could be some pretty interesting and contentious meetings, but that is the point, to get the conversation going, because otherwise progress can't happen.
Absolutely. And we also invite this community here, for any listeners that are currently tuned in. We want you to tell us in your community who's interested in this issue and who may be a good person for our life strategy board. So we will provide our contact information. Again, we want everyone to be involved. We want voices heard. That is the only way we are going to bring about some change.
You hear that, listeners? Grab pencil and paper, or turn on your recorders, or plan to dip into the archives and listen to this program again. And we're going to post that contact information along with the link to this program in our archives. Preenie's?
I would just like to invite everyone out to our actual community conversations that we have coming up. We have one on March 4th in Kenosha County, and then we have one also on March 10th in Racine, and then we have another one on March 11th in Milwaukee. And all of those are from 5:30 to 7:30, so then that way we can draw in not only the community members, but also those who are in these organizations as well.
So your website, which we'll give the address for in a little bit, will have all that information, right?
That website will have the actual information, the location, and even the link to register.
Gina, as the director of this, this is a really complex operation. I just want to take a minute here to think about how do you control, manage this? You have 100,000 balls in the air, it almost seems. And like I said earlier, if this were a simple thing to solve, it'd be solved already. So this sounds to me like one of the most complex management jobs I might ever want to have or not have. how do you approach this?
That's a great question. So, quite frankly, I approach this in multiple ways. To your point, touche, there is no one way, quite frankly, to approach this. But most importantly, structurally, we approach this in a way by which we are looking to the communities for support, for guidance, which is really important for us. We also look to our key stakeholders to help guide this process. One big thing I've recognized in doing this work is that we cannot do it alone. We have to have critical stakeholders in partnership with us. So we have tons of partnerships that we definitely know we need to make sure we're including, whether it's through our health departments, through our hospitals, through our other care centers, community-based organizations. People who have identified this as a critical need, we certainly partner with them. So that's really important. The community is a huge partner for us, and that is the folks who are actually from these neighborhoods, from these areas that are actually suffering from this. So Black families are really important to us. Brown families, as Diamond has mentioned, business owners, all of those folks are key stakeholders. So that's kind of our structure around making sure that everybody realizes they have a role to play. The second thing I think we've done, quite frankly, is creating a new staff and team. We have gone from the infrastructure of myself and two other and one full-time person to now having a team where we have incorporated as you see, Dr. Hansen. We have she's assistant director. We have these strategists in each of the cities. And then we have boots on the ground community liaisons to help us with this. But we also have incorporated our strengths from the university. And we have the Pop Health Institute, the Population Health Institute, as our academic partner to help us really build some new infrastructure that gives us the ability to do evaluation and create research opportunities in the future for investigators who have an interest in this area, who want to also come and help us build these structures together. So we really have taken the time to be very methodical in the work that we've done. And I think one of the other key points that we're doing, again, building this structure, is really having a presence and visibility, which the community has said it's needed. So hence we have our communication advisor in Vivian, who you've met also. We definitely know, or I definitely know, and leading this, that the charge that I have has to be very inclusive, and quite frankly, it has to be a team of members who feel comfortable, who feel supported, and actually have the tools that they need in order to get the job done. So you are right, it's complex, but I think the bottom line is that, and I'll just say this, Lynn, to be honest, it's about being servants to our community. At the end of the day, all of us feel the responsibility and the privilege of being able to serve our community and make sure that this issue that is so critical to us today, presently, and in the future is addressed. And so that's the biggest point. It's about the people. When we wake up, at least when I wake up every day, it's how do I make sure that these families are getting the service that they need? So that's the biggest, that to me is the biggest point of how and why we do this.
Thank you. One of the things I've learned from the Alliance for Strong Families and Communities and my involvement with them for 20 years is that this social determinants of health thing is really very, very large. And everything that we can do with that is going to pay good results and dividends. I imagine there are places in the country that have become models for success in this. And if there are, I'd like to hear about them. It also occurs to me that our local colleges and universities, both Gateway Technical College, where we're sitting, and University of Wisconsin-Parkside and Carthage College, I think even Herzing, are becoming very aggressive in community engagement and community-based research with their faculty and with their students. So I hope that in the future maybe there'll be ways to engage these organizations and their students in this effort, because that would be, I would think, an interesting part of the educational effort and another way to reach families. But let me go back to that social determinants. One of the things I learned from the Alliance is that, in general, access to getting to a doctor is not the main problem for many people. There's tons of there's lots of doctors here. It's not like we're in a doctor desert in southeastern Wisconsin. But being able to afford care, being able to get transportation to care, all of these things do get involved. So it sounds to me like there's some very interesting possibilities of partnerships and explorations that you're going to be able to be doing in the future. It's very exciting. Any comment on those observations from any of you?
Yeah, so this is Gina, and I'm 100% where you are. And that is exactly what we are hoping, that as we create this new model, exactly what you identified is what we hope to accomplish. And again, we are using our strategists. That is why we've provided the opportunity for us to have strategists in each of the cities that we're working in, because we know, to your point, Parkside is critical to what we do. Gateway, all of those institutions have students, they have priorities, and we know that this, particularly even through the social determinants of health, is a priority. Our care providers have priorities. Our hospitals are all, everyone's prioritizing health disparities and social determinants of health, health equity, all of them. We really want to take advantage of that by saying, hey, we're here, we're on the same page, let's partner together to come to some resolution for the future of our families. And so that is exactly where we're heading with our initiative.
As I recall, men have something to do with children happening, and we've talked a lot about women. I wonder if we could get perhaps Dr. Hansen to talk about what the role of men is in this with respect to changing outcomes, and how you address talking to men.
Yes, thank you for the question. So you're right. Oftentimes, our men are left out of the conversation when they too should be very well involved. So we are really being intentional about involving men. We have a community event next week taking place in Racine at Gateway Technical College. And one thing, as a part of our breakout session, we are going to have a discussion surrounding fatherhood and making sure that we keep the fathers involved on this issue, because not only is it about African-American women healthy birth outcomes, but it's also about supporting the family as a whole.
So what behavior you want men to be exhibiting? What behavior outcomes are you looking for from the men?
So this is Gina, and I don't know that we're looking for a specific behavior outcome, because I think there is just, quite frankly, some misinformation about men's involvement in African-American babies and families. And I think what we're trying to do is address some of the myths that black men aren't involved in family, and we know that they are. But we're also trying to learn from African-American men, what can we do better to support you in these roles, and to find out where are some of the challenges that you're facing, what are some of the challenges that you're facing as black men, and how do we address those in a more appropriate fashion. I think, to your point earlier, there is the discussion around men, but very seldom inclusive of men. And one of the things that we are doing is helping with a new barbershop initiative that's actually happening that will happen in February around African-American men that we're going to be participating with. I don't know, Dr. Hansen, would you like to talk about that?
Sure. So with the Barbershop Initiative, which has been a vision of Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Life is really being involved in helping create this safe space for men to get access to what they need to thrive. So in the Barbershop Initiative, there will be health screenings from vision to dental, you name it, just all of those healthcare services. There'll be a local pharmacy involved. So we know that barbershops are spaces where men come to not only, you know, get their haircuts, but they congregate as well about sports, about life, about challenges and issues that they're facing. So we really see our involvement for life as a vital piece of connecting some of these dots and having some of these vital conversations that Gina was mentioning.
So once again, this is a very holistic operation that you're trying to make happen here.
Absolutely.
That's very exciting. I wonder if we could take just a moment now to operationalize this for people like me who like to get involved up to our elbows in chicken fat doing good works in the community. What kind of things can individuals do? We've talked about hospital systems and all these big structures, and we've also talked about some of the more simple things where you meet people where they are and have them contribute, and you identify community assets and community leaders, and you listen to them instead of telling them what the problems are. You let them tell you what the problems are. But what kind of support do you want from Joe and Jane listener? What can they do?
Oh, this is Pernice. I would say just simply having a conversation with us and getting involved with us in that aspect. Our door is completely open. We're not shut in. We would like them to come out to community conversations. We would like them to get involved and give us their actual feedback. Tell us about African-American organizations that are led and primarily serving African-Americans and those who may need help with building capacity. Tell us about people in the community who may be interested in the LSB board, the Life Strategy board.
Can people be involved in visiting your website or attending sessions, maybe training sessions or maybe community conversations, where they can get information, materials that they can share with people who need them to really sort of deploy an army of people who carry your message to the community? Is that one of the things you envision?
Yes, definitely. Awareness is key, and that's one of our actual main visions that we have. So we want to bring awareness, so that is by secondhand, we want that. We want them to transfer that up and transfer that to others, as well as not only just organizations, but just even loved ones that they may know, or church members, or friends, family, kids, teenagers, because we know, you know, that's another situation. So they can also go to our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page that they can go to see what we're actually doing, as well as other ways to get involved.
Really looking for community champions at all age levels and in all positions is really important, because it's one thing for someone from Madison or Milwaukee to come down and talk to you. It's another thing for your neighbor, your respected neighbor or community, informal community or block leader, to say it and to reach out. And I suppose the more people who get involved and appoint themselves to be conduits for your information and outreach, the more effective you're going to be.
I agree 100%. I have a daughter who is in high school, and she's got a couple of kiddos who are our friends who are actually pregnant. And she feeds off of what I talk about regarding life, and she's constantly asking questions so she can go back and refer that to her friends. So That's a great example, you know. So, and I know that that's going down the pipeline. So that kid is telling another kid, or telling an auntie, or somebody who's older too. So,
well, let's get some of that information: phone numbers, email addresses, websites, Facebook names, so you could search and find ways to get information. Who wants to take the lead on that?
Sure. So our website is life, that's LIHF .wisc, that's WISC .edu. That is a great source of information. It has our vision, our mission, all of our events, registration information, contact information. It actually also has a link directly to our Facebook page, and it just really shows the calendar of everything we're doing, if we're ever responding to any issues that, you know, are arising in the community. You can find that there as well.
What's that URL again?
That URL is LIHF dot WISC, that's WISC dot EDU.
And if I wanted to just look up your Facebook page, what would I put in the search bar?
You would put in Life Course. Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families.
LifeCourse. Just the two words jammed together.
Yes.
Life Course.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you can't find it there, you can certainly go to our website and click on the link for that. And then we also have an email as well. Any questions, comments, concerns, if you want to get involved, send us a message at Life. Again, that's LIHF. Program office, all one word, at gmail.com.
One more time.
Life, LIHF, program office at gmail.com.
Okay. Now, Gina Green Harris, I'm going to go back to you as director. It's now 2022, and we're back on the air together, and I'm interviewing you. What do you hope you'll be able to tell me 2 years from now that you've achieved?
Oh, great question.
I'll give you a couple of minutes to tell me.
Okay, great. I think the most important thing I would want to be able to tell you is that we have actually been able to impact chronic stress by reducing chronic stress among Black women. I think the second thing we would want to be able to tell you is that we have been able to get communities and folks to recognize the urgency around birth outcomes and poor birth outcomes in Black families and how that actually impacts the rest of our community, not just Black community, but the entire state of Wisconsin. And then finally, I think the third thing I would love to see is that with this opportunity that we've been provided, that we have been able to expand the capacity of organizations to do this work in a meaningful way, that we have actually been able to reduce some of the racial structures and constructs that have been, quite frankly, impacting our community for several centuries. But I think if I had to pick one thing, it would be that we now are collectively working on this initiative together, moving from promise to action to practice. That would be what I would hope to see happening.
Anything our assistant director would like to add to that, that she would like to see happen within your responsibility, Dr. Hansen?
Yes, for me, and I totally echo what Gina said. And for me, I really see the Life Course Initiative for Healthy Families being that go-to entity that the community can really look to say, hey, they cared. Hey, they are our resource hub.
Anything you'd like to add, Preenies?
Just the overarching that infant mortality within the African-American community is reduced. So being able to see some of those actual statistics and data.
Show Preenies the numbers.
That's right.
Okay. I want to thank you all very much. This has been an extremely important discussion for all of us in the state of Wisconsin, and particularly here in southeast Wisconsin, where this problem is especially severe. With me this morning have been Gina Green Harris, director of the program for the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, Dr. Diamond Hansen, the assistant director, and Preenies Love, the community strategist for Racine. For Community Matters, this is Lenny Quinta urging you, roll up your sleeves, please get informed and get involved. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more is available 24 hours a day on your desktop, laptop, smartphone, or radio. To access 24/7 Jazz WGTD on your computer, go to WGTD.org, where you can listen live, online, 24 hours a day. On your smartphone, download the free WGTD app. In the Kenosha-Racine area, 24/7 Jazz WGTD HD2 is available via HD Radio. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
WGTD is an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. A cultural asset and a community resource, WGTD is owned and operated by Gateway Technical College with additional financial